Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. We thank God for all you that listen to the broadcast. And once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at, doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, we want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GodsWordToMan@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're given to you. Praise be to God. So once again, we thank God for another blessed day. Amen. This is Friday. For those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know what that means, heart to heart, with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And as we await for my brother to come on, once again, I just want to take this opportunity to thank God for all of you that have been listening. And once again, may the Lord bless you, your families, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we await for my brother to come on, let us pray right now, wherever you at. Won't you pray along with me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for you are God, and besides you, there is no other. We come this day to uplift your name and to praise you and to worship you, to give you all the glory that you deserve. For you are God, you are Almighty God, and there's none beside you, neither will any be greater than you. No one, Lord God, possesses the understanding, the wisdom, and knowledge that you do. No one has the creative power that you have. But, Lord God, you created the heaven and earth. You stretched it forth, and your design, Lord God, brought it about. Your wisdom is so marvelous, so great, O God. There is none wiser than thee. No one has more knowledge than you. No one can do what you do and do what you have done. Father, you are all in the class by yourself. You are number one, Lord God. You're the greatest, Lord God. No one is greater than thee. You are the healer, Lord God, in Jesus' name, who heal us of all our sicknesses and disease. You sent your word as you did in the days of old to us, and you healed us. You forgave us of all our iniquities and all our sins. We're so grateful, Lord God, for what you've done for us. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, how you became sin who knew no sin, in Jesus' almighty name. Lord God, over these airways, Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that you would anoint the words of our mouth to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we call on the warring angels of God. We ask that you release them, Lord, in the heavens to combat the enemy that comes to hinder, Lord God, the word of the Lord to going forth on this broadcast. We bind every demon, every devil right now, every cohort, every imp of Satan that is causing interference with these airwaves. We come against you. The Lord rebukes you and we rebuke you. We plead the blood of Jesus against you right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you release your power, Lord God, over your people in Jesus' name. Help your people this day. Help those, Lord God, who are bound by sicknesses and disease. We ask right now in the name of thy son, Jesus, that you release your power of healing and deliverance. Set them free, Lord, and deliver them from the bondage of sickness and disease. We bind every spirit of infirmity that's operating in the homes, every spirit of infirmity that's operating in the hospitals, and Lord God, is operating on jobs. We bind that spirit in Jesus' name. We come against that spirit right now. We come against cancer and leukemia and diabetes and high blood pressure, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we come against Alzheimer's right now in Jesus' name. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would heal the mind, Lord God, and repair anything that's broken, anything that's loose in the mind. Father, heal it right now and restore. Father, in Jesus' name, let your power, Lord God, come unto the people and touch them by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, glory to the living God. We are grateful for this opportunity you have given us to pray in Jesus' name, and we give you glory. We magnify you because, Lord God, you're worthy to be praised. Lord God, release the power of your blood, Lord God, and cause the enemy to step back once again. Lord God, you stripped him of his power in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, God, we just thank you today, Lord God, for touching him right, touching your people right now and destroying his power in Jesus' name. Right now, Satan, we bind and rebuke you in Jesus' name. Every hindering spirit right now, the blood is against you. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Plead the blood against you, Satan, and your works right now in Jesus' name. Turn loose of these airways. We command you to stop your hindrance right now. In the name of Jesus, every cohort, every imp, every demon right now that Satan you have sinned, we command them to cease right now. In Jesus' name, we've been given authority and power over you by Jesus Christ our Lord. The authority of Jesus trumps your power. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory. You're worthy to be praised and to be glorified, Lord God. You're worthy to be magnified, to be lifted up. In Jesus' name, we lift up your name right now. We praise you, Lord God, and the beauty of your holiness this day in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are the Redeemer. You redeem your people, Lord God, from hell. You redeemed them from sickness and disease and from plagues, Lord God. You redeemed your people, and we're grateful. In the name of Jesus, we're so grateful, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We're so grateful, Lord God. Hallelujah. Right now, we bind the hindering spirit right now. We bind the adversary right now in Jesus' name. Glory to the living God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we are grateful for you being God and being all-powerful and almighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless, brother. God bless. God bless, brother. Brother, can you hear? God bless. Look like maybe having technical difficulties once again. God bless. Yes, his call has dropped. But Satan is a defeated foe. He is defeated by the power of the blood. In Jesus' name. We command you now, Satan, to turn loose your hindrance right now. In the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Turn it loose and go right now. The blood is against you. Take your hands off in the name of Jesus. Leave right now in Jesus' name. His call shall go through in the name of Jesus. Glory to the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every hindering spirit, we command you to go in Jesus' name. The blood is against you. Right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For all of you that are listening, if you haven't been, I ask that you would just pray with me. Those of you that are born-again believers, exercising your authority against the hindering spirits of Satan right now, who comes to hinder this broadcast and comes to hinder the word from going forward in the name of Jesus. But Satan is a liar. In Jesus' name, Satan, you are defeated. Right now, and there's nothing you can do about it. You are a defeated foe. Christ stripped you and made an open show of you before heaven, hell, and earth. In Jesus' name, he made a show of you openly, defeated you in the name of Jesus. You were defeated in Jesus' name. Glory to God. God bless, brother.
Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you clear.
Okay, I'm having a problem with my sound volume. But we'll...
Yeah,
we'll move forward anyway. And thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ. And for we honor his death, burial, and resurrection, suffering, and redemption, and acknowledge the Holy Spirit. And we want to give special recognition and honor to all the saints and all the workers of God in the ministry and the kingdom of God and worldwide. And we thank God for all the women and ministries, the wives and the mothers, and they that carry also to help the work of the Lord in the all parts of the earth. This is a Women's Night, recognition of the women of God in a special way. So we thank God for that. So you can still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you clear.
Okay, this volume is kind of pain, volume. But anyway, we'll make do. So thank God. How is the wind blowing there in Durant in Chicago, Illinois? This is coming okay.
Yeah, y'all been sending us some this way and some cooler temperatures. Many of us appreciate it. So, we look like we're getting an early, some people feel we may get a quote early winter.
Oh, that's okay. Some people will love it and some won't, and some appreciate and some would need it and some say they don't. But either way, it'll roll on anyway. And so we might as well be grateful for it. Thank God that we have the opportunity and liberty to fellowship on this broadcast, Blog Talk Radio. And I want to say to all the listeners worldwide in every place, we welcome and invite you, whatever place you are, concerning the last message before Jesus come to reign, the gospel of the kingdom. And we just want to share some wonderful things and news about the end time and about the closing of this age and a better day ahead of us. So I just want to say to all the people in every place, we freely welcome you. Talk Block Radio. It's 7 p.m. every night, brother.
And, yes, sir. 6 and 6:30 on Saturday nights too, and Monday night.
Okay. Well, great. Wonderful. We've been given the privilege in the history of God's planning, and this is a momentum time, a point in history in the books of God, that we are sharing the gospel of the kingdom. So we're grateful for that. It's not a light thing that you're given the privilege and the liberty to speak to many people on the airwaves. I mean, this is not a light thing. This is a great gift and grace of God that he's permitted us to do so. So we're glad that we're in the nation, because if we were born in some other nation across the sea, brother, we wouldn't have this privilege. So I guess the Lord wants us to be what's called born in this place where we could share. So I'm grateful for that too.
Amen.
Very good. Now, I just want, before I let the women of God loose, let them loose and let them do their part in particular of the grace and the goodness of God. And the women are the backbone and the side bone and sometimes the front bone of the work of God. So I know, when I say that, because they play such a major part in the plan and the purposes of God. And so we're just grateful to always give them special honor for the women's and the mothers and the wives and just the missionaries who give their all for the cause of Christ and the kingdom and just making lives better and for people and adding life to them. So I'm grateful for that. Our mothers, you know, we were born and women were used to give birth when the man played a major part. And I want to give recognition to the wife. Now I want to start off this point that I hear this a lot in the political circles, that a woman owns her body. And that gives her the right to do whatever she wants with her body. Here is governmental, political rhetoric that women have possession of their body. And what they're talking about is that if a woman is have a child in her womb, which she has the right to do what she wants with her body. So that is one of the most, I don't know how to call it, foolish to say that a woman owns the child in her body and she can do whatever she wants with. And so first thing, they're forgetting that a woman didn't have the baby by herself. Okay. Second thing, the father had to have a father of that life. Okay? Second, the life that's in that body that was conceived by reproduction of the man and the woman, a right to do what she want with it. That's why the life was conceived, in order to live. If there was no life there, there would be no fetus, no embryo, then they wouldn't have nothing to kill. So it is a life. It is the fetus that would develop wholly embryo to be a whole human being. So I hear this vain, foolish woman have reproductive rights. So I just want to clear it up. So I start out right. Is that okay? So I can start out making people mad at the beginning. Is that okay?
Why not? What I say, why not?
Why not? Since my name is Professional Agitator, I might as well start out right with the love of God. And God loves and he gives life, and he calls us to live. Just imagine, Brother Nate, you and I were killed in the womb. And just imagine, Isaiah was killed in the womb, and Moses, and all the holy prophets, most of them were killed. And John the Baptist was killed in the womb, saying, because the woman said, I have a reductive right. And the devil tried to enforce it because he tried to kill Jesus and Moses to pull that same stuff to keep them from being born, right?
Amen.
And so the devil is pulling that same stuff to keep all these children who are going to be prophets and ministers and ambassadors and governors and mathematicians and helpers in the cause of Christ. He don't want them to be born. So we have killed over 60 million in the United States lives, babies. So we call it reproductive woman's rights. And I don't know whether the Democrats get this nonsense, but they have it, a lie from the devil. So we rebuke that lying devil. Don't care if you don't like it. God called it abomination. I'm not saying to be harsh, but that's what he said. Am I right about it, brother?
That's right.
Correct me now.
Definitely right about it.
Okay. I just want somebody to correct me now. Because I want to live up to my name as the Professional Agitator.
Well, you're doing good so far, brother.
Well, I know you and Brother Robert through the week, y'all trying to take first place. And y'all trying to take the first place from me.
Yeah, but brother, we got a long way to go. A long way to go.
Well, that's okay, brother. As long as you keep cooking those sweet potatoes and greens and ham hocks, it's okay. Thank God. Amen. Well, I love all your people of the Lord. I love our president and vice president. I love all the souls, even those in gross darkness and in rebellion and in blindness. I love them because God sent Jesus to love me first. So I gotta have that same love that Jesus had while we were yet enemies. Christ came. Romans 5 said, where the whole earth, their nature was against God, and their very nature born of Adam was an enemy to God. They were going of the will of God. And while we were yet enemies, going contrary to our nature, Christ, God the Father, sent his Son just for you and I who were enemies by nature. Now, and so he loved all people enough to come to redeem them, recover them, to recover them and reconcile them and make a way back home to the Father to be reconciled. So I thank God for that gift of the beloved Son. That's the greatest gift to mankind, the very Son of God coming, as John 3:16 says, I love it, and there is no greater gift, when he gave his life on Calvary and rose again. Now, today is a good day. Good evening, brother. In some places, daylight or night or evening. We greet you in New Mexico, Turkey, Venezuela, wherever, Iraq, Iran, Russia, China, everywhere. We greet you in that awesome name that is above every name, the name of the Yeshua Mashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you, all of you, far and near, to hear the glorious news. Yes, Jesus is coming. And also, Elijah must first come, and then the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the harvest of millions of souls. Okay. Can you hear me? Let me know when you can't hear me, brother.
Okay, most definitely.
All right. So, I want to, before I give it, turn it over to our beloved sisters and missionary, I'm going to share a few things, a few mysteries. And Phil, if you got your Bible, you'll help me. I appreciate it, brother. I want to unlock a mystery and a mishap. I want to share a few things where people are tripping over, as they call tripping over, stumbling over, divided over. And I want to share some light, some understanding that may help them to quit tripping, as they say in the word, quit tripping. So, by the way,
amen.
I want to tell all my youth, God just loves you. He's going to use the young people in a great and mighty way. Many of them have good desires, and God just going to gather them together. You make a mighty army, little. I see just many wonderful men and women, young men and women, and God is going to use them at early age. And while some of them are still tripping, trying to find their way, and trying to be hey dog and all that kind of stuff, it's okay. You're going to trip over Jesus after a while, and you're going to find your way. All right. Now, here's the thing that I want to unveil and reveal to solve a mystery among believers. And this mystery includes two things. To solve a mystery, something that's not understood. People are presuming, by some areas of scripture, they're just assuming or presuming some things because it's still, they lack understanding from God, so they just presume or come to their own understanding. Now, how this was resolved, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, they were, the Jews and even the disciples, many of them in Jesus' day, wondering who was he. And in the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus asked a question, so he could make this very clear for all ages to people. He asked a question to his top apostle named Peter, Jonas, Peter. He says, who do they say I, the Son of Man, am? Well, Peter says, some say you, Jeremiah, come back from the, or whatever. Some say you, oh no, John, somebody, some say you are this and you're that. And then he said, okay, we're going to solve this problem. He said, Peter, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now we go from presumption, assumptions, to direct revelation. What do we go from? We go from assumption, presumption, to direct revelation from God. That clears up the mystery, right? No more assuming, this group assuming this, this group assuming this, this church assuming this. When you hear from heaven, that solves the problem, right?
Amen.
Now, the Jews was, and the Pharisees was kind of spreading different stories. Who is this Jesus, and what is he, and what is that? And so Jesus said, I'm going to clear this up. And he asked Peter, do you think I am, the Son of Man, who I am? Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ of God. And now he cleared it up. He made a direct statement. And Jesus says, Peter, you didn't get this from the mentality of man or the brilliance of man or the thinking of man or the mind of man. You didn't get that from that. You didn't go to theological school and surmise this and surmise that. Peter, you got this directly from my Father. Now, that's important because, and Jesus told Peter and replied to Peter, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Notice he didn't say, "Thou art a prophet, thou art a good man, thou art a nice man, thou art this and that." But he heed the core foundation of our faith. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Am I right?
That's right.
So, I know men want to make him a prophet and make him this and make him that, but let's get to the core of the foundation of the nature. He was God in the flesh, the Son of God, the Son of Man after the flesh. Now, you notice why he answered that question. Instead of we thinking or just believing or making assumptions, and every theologians, like in our day, there's some good theologians, men of God, but some things they teach are assumptions. Am I right?
That's right. Amen.
They come from their mind and their own reasoning, thinking. Now, I'm not saying they're not men and women of God, but some areas that you read about people, theology, is some of their assumption and presumptions. Now, give you one of the great stumbling blocks of mankind. It's about this rapture and the second coming of Christ. There's a lot of presumption and assumptions about that, right?
That's right. Amen.
And so this group and that group and that Christian group and that Christian see this way. And it goes on, the baptism in Jesus' name, well, you should be baptized in the Holy Ghost of Jesus only. Then you go on to the, what else, did Jesus bodily really get up? Just go on and on. Do you have to speak in tongues or have the Holy Ghost? Or does God speak today? Does angels speak today? Does God heal today? Does God deliver? Does his voice understood today? Does the Holy Spirit does the same today? Is all these things ended? And so different church groups believe different things about this. Is that right?
That's right. Amen.
But here, let's go to the scripture and see how God clarifies certain things to stop all this stumbling and presumption. Now, one of the things we're going to share right quickly, as we focus on the witness of the scripture, how we can clear up a couple of things. A lot of people have wondered in the 11th chapter of Matthew and 7th chapter of Luke, and I'm going to clear up two things. Two things has to do with why is the scriptures, Jesus said three things that's perplexed many people. There is not a greater one risen than John the Baptist. Then he says in Matthew, there is not a greater prophet born of a woman than John the Baptist. Secondly, thirdly, he says, John is more than a prophet. Now, these things, people have come to all kinds of assumptions. Why did Jesus himself kept talking about the mission of John the Baptist when they asked him these questions in the 11th chapter of Matthew 7:2? Why did he answer this? There is not a greater risen than John the Baptist. Luke 7, 11th chapter of Matthew. Then he said, there is not a greater prophet born of a woman than John the Baptist. Then the third thing is, John is more than a prophet. Now, the second part of this mystery has to do with the first resurrection. Now, these two things people are stumbling over because they are connected. The mission of John the Baptist and the first resurrection. Okay, would you help me to read this, brother? In Matthew's 22 and Matthew 22, you go there. I think I got it. If you got that right quick, we're going to solve the problem about the resurrection and how it's tied to the mission, John being the greatest prophet born of a woman. Let's go with Matthew's I didn't even write the scripture down. I was taking a note a few minutes ago, like I usually do, just where I took a few notes. In the 22nd chapter of John, Matthew, you got that?
Right, I got Matthew chapter 22.
Now go down to the part where they was asking about the marriage. That if a man had married five wives and all of them died, and a man had been married five times and all the wives died, they was asking Jesus, which, when the man rose from the dead, which one was going to be his wife? Now, he'd been married five times on the earth and all had died. And they was asking him, which one, when the man had five wives, now he's not supposed to have one, really. But in the resurrection, when he arrived from the dead, which one's going to be his wife? You got that part? What is that? Is that 22nd?
Right, right. Starting at verse 23, it says that the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there's no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. His brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read
now,
that which is spoken unto you by God?
Notice what he said to the Jews. You do error. Now, what was the error? You do error. Where do the error come in? He's telling the Jews about, because they were confused about whose wife in the resurrection this man was going to be the woman was in the resurrection. Jesus said three important scripture. The first thing he said to them, you do err, not knowing the scripture, or knowing the real meaning of the scripture. And the second thing, you do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. Is that what he said?
Amen.
So they was in error in their understanding, right, of what they was thinking.
That's right.
And Jesus clearly said, the reason you don't have the proper understanding of this, and you are in error, because you really don't have the understanding of the scripture, nor the power of God. Now, the power of God that gives you the direct revelation, like Peter, you know, when Peter in the 15th chapter, Jesus said, my Father, when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't give you this, Peter, but my Father in heaven. Now, if Peter was going by what the Jews believe, who are thou Christ? You, Jeremiah, you, John the Baptist, come back alive, you this, you that. They were in presumption, and the vision arise a lot from people presuming and assuming or thinking with their own thoughts about something. But here's what Jesus said to Peter, my Father, you didn't get this from flesh and blood or from the thinking of man or the mind of man. My Father in heaven gave you this revelation. Now, Jesus told the Jews about the marriage and the resurrection. He says, you do error. Well, what's the error? You don't understand because you don't have the Holy Spirit or the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit or the revelation of God, and you're just assuming from the letter without giving the revelation of the Spirit of God, you do error, not knowing the scriptures or having the proper comprehension of the scripture, revelation, or why? Because of the power of God. You didn't rely upon the power of the living God to reveal. You do error. Now, what the two things they err about? They err about the understanding of the resurrection. Well, let's move on. We're going to solve this about why they err. Jesus said to them, in the resurrection, when people are resurrected in Christ, what's going to happen? They are as the what? The angels. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, they neither marry a given man. In other words, when you have when you're resurrected, you have no need to have any more children or have any intimacy or any sex or be married or given in marriage. It won't be necessary anymore because of the new body.
Amen.
Now, what do they err about the resurrection? When you're raised like Jesus in his glorified body, the Bible says we shall be like him when he shall come, made like him, what? You shall be raised with a glorified, resurrected, glorified body like Jesus as the angels. And notice he says, in the resurrection, as the angel, you have the same nature, have the same ability of the angels who are angels from the beginning. Now, let's see. In the resurrection, let's see. A few minutes before I came on, about a couple of minutes. Okay. We're going to understand about the resurrection. Now the question arises, Brother Nate. People are arguing about this scripture in the 17th chapter of Matthew, chapter 17. Let's go to Matthew 17, beginning verse 9 to 13. The argument is, how can John the Baptist fulfill the scripture, Elias must first come and restore all things, when John got his head off and he's dead? How can he restore all things? How can he be the Elias that Jesus talks about? Mystery. How can John, when he's dead, had his head cut off, and the people says he's dead, and that's impossible for him to fulfill the scripture, the Elias for the come? Let's read Matthew 17, verse 9 to 13.
The word of God said, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto them whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist.
Now, they wanted to comprehend this, the coming of what the prophets had said about the coming of Elijah. They also wanted to comprehend about the coming of Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, because they did not have the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament as a gift, the veil of darkness was still over them concerning things in the scripture. They did not have a clear comprehension of the meaning of the scriptures. They knew that Elijah would have to come, and they was expecting Elijah to come before Jesus came as the Messiah. They understood that. So they wanted to understand the ministry of John, when John at that time had his head cut off and he was dead at that time. So they said, give us some understanding about this scripture, about the Elijah ministry. We know he must come at the end. But Jesus said, begin to explain the ministry of John, because this has something to do with the resurrection. They do err, not knowing the scriptures and the power of the resurrection. Okay, to get back to why people err, not knowing the understanding of the scriptures from the light of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said they do err, Matthew, they do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Keep that in mind. That's why people err. Jesus explained the ministry of John, and he said he identifies John at that time, who was already dead, had his head cut off, said John was the Elijah, but he also said something about the future. Well, wait a minute now. John is dead, so that's the end of that. No, it ain't. Jesus made a statement about the past, and he made a statement about the future. Elias had already come. You didn't know who he was. But then he says there's something else that takes place in the future. He shall truly come in the future. Future, 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 future. He shall come and restore all things. Is that right?
Amen.
So he talks about the past, and he talks about the future. That's why people stumble. That scripture is talking about a past event and a future event, because in Malachi chapter 4 is talking about the second coming of Christ, not the first coming. Malachi 3 and most of it, and Malachi 4 is talking about the second coming of Christ. So when Jesus gave them an answer, he gave them a twofold answer. And it has something to do with the resurrection. How could John come and be Elias to restore all things at the second coming of Christ when his head is cut off? Okay, Jesus said John is coming to restore all things. Oh, you crazy. You do err not knowing the scriptures, the right meaning, the proper error, and you don't know the power of God because you didn't get the direct revelation to wait upon God. You came to an assumption that John is dead, and that's the end of that Elijah message. Jesus says you do err. Why do people err? Why do they make error? Because they make assumptions and presumptions about certain things. Hallelujah. They don't get perfect understanding because they don't get direct revelation. Wait upon the Lord that the Holy Spirit will give them direct revelation. Now, that's how they erred in Peter's, when Jesus asked Peter, who do the disciples and who do the Pharisees say I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some say this and some say this and some say that. Well, Jesus said to Peter, well, who do you say I am, the Son of Man, am? I was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, you didn't get that from the thoughts of men, my flesh and blood. My Father in heaven gave you that. That's how you got a clear picture. You didn't make no error. Now, error. They and many people do not understand that John has a second mission, just like Jesus said him and everything. He's got to come to restore all things. First, he announced Jesus as the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. John 1:27, he announced and they induced him Israel, but he didn't restore all things. Am I right about it?
That's right.
How could he restore all things when the church wasn't even established yet? They had never fallen. So how are you going to restore something that hadn't been not been established yet?
Amen.
Okay. How is this tied in with the resurrection? How can John come back and fulfill that scripture? Well, let's move a little further. How is this mystery tied to the resurrection? How can John come the second time to complete Malachi 4 and 5 and Matthew 7? How can he come in the 11th chapter when Jesus says there's not risen a greater prophet than John? There is no greater prophet ever born of woman than John. What makes him the greatest prophet ever born of a woman? Well, then he says, Jesus said in 11th chapter of Matthew, what? That he is more than a prophet. Now, if you go from the beginning of the world, the greatest prophet that we know was Moses and Elijah of old. And now we're going to connect this. How is John's work in ministry on the level of Moses and Elijah of old when Jesus said he's the greatest, John is the greatest prophet, even of Moses and Elijah and all of them before him? Because Jesus said he's more than a prophet. His mission is greater. His plan, his work is greater. What's the work? To restore all things. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, I didn't say it because some people are teaching that Jesus fulfilled that. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said John is to restore Elijah to restore all things. Didn't he say that? Is that not what he said?
That's what he said.
Well, if the rapture takes place in a minute, how is it that has John come and restored all things? Well, how can Jesus come back when John has not restored all things? Okay.
Amen.
Just asking, because, you know, I'm just a student. I don't know everything. I'm just a student. Second thing, how can John come when he got his head off? Jesus said, you do err, in Matthew 22, you do err, not knowing the scripture, the right understanding of the scriptures, and rightly dividing the scriptures. Why? Because you do not know the power of God in that understanding of that scripture. All right. How can John come again? Let's go, brother, and go to Matthew chapter 27 concerning the first resurrection. Now, there's a statement in Matthew 27, verse 50, concerning the first resurrection. Hallelujah. When Jesus rose, Christ, Mashiach, rose from the dead. Let's go, Matthew 27, verse 50 to 53. What happened when Jesus rose from the dead? After he died and rose from the dead. You have it.
Verse 50 said, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many.
Wait a minute now. You mean Jesus was not the only one that rose?
Amen.
Well, who are these people that rose? Remember, he's the life and the resurrection. So let's see what, when he conquered death and the grave and conquered Satan, and he did something else, he loosed the captive. Well, who were waiting for him? Who in captivity waiting for him? So when Jesus came out of the grave, what did he say? Many bodies of the saints. Now, why is it so important he said bodies of the saints? He didn't say spirit. He said bodies. Because in
Amen.
The resurrection, you will have a body.
Amen.
You will have a body. Like Jesus. Like he was risen from the dead with a flesh and bone body. Now, it said they appeared to many in the city. Well, wait a minute. Appeared means, you know, our angels appear unto you. They can go and come and appear. In the resurrection, remember in Matthew 23, you'll be as the angels, right?
Right.
Well, in the resurrection, when they rose from the dead, they went and appeared to many because they have angelic power to go and come and go because they have a resurrected body like Jesus did. Jesus could come and go, come through walls, appear. That's in the resurrection power as the angels do. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, let's go to Luke, no, let's go to right quick, Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 8. What took place when Jesus went down and something took place when he rose from the dead? We talk about all the bodies of the saints came out of the grave and appeared to many. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 8.
The word of God said, wherefore he say, when he ascended up on high and gave gifts unto men, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
Okay. Now, know what he did. He first, when he rose, when he died, what did he do? He, descended.
Right.
Is that right? Were the saints, where were the people that he descended in, where they were at? After he went and descended and took the keys and death from Satan and loosed it, what he said, he loosed captivity, right? He loosed those that are in captivity. Right. And he broke the bands of death, and he first descended in, then he ascended on high with the saints. Ascended. Did you get that? Did
Amen.
We get it? All right. Well, who are these people that were waiting for Jesus to descend and loose them? Because they're held by death. Who was these people waiting? What were they? Well, you remember when the parable Jesus gave about Lazarus and the rich man in the 15th chapter of Luke? You remember that the parable?
Amen.
He said,
Amen.
Lazarus went and he died. The rich man died. And he lifted up his eyes in hell, right? In torment, right?
Amen. Amen.
Now, they say the dead don't know anything. Okay, that's what they said. Because they misunderstand the scripture. They do error. When they read Ecclesiastes, they don't have the complete scripture. They don't have the complete revelation. You know, when they read a scripture out of context and they don't have the complete revelation of it, you can err. Oh,
Amen.
The dead know not anything. Well, it does say that, but you don't have the complete revelation of what Jesus and the apostles taught. See, you can't just look at something apart from itself. You got to put it together with all the revelation of the truth about that, not just one part. Now, listen what happened. You know, it says that the rich man died and he lifted up his eyes in the cool water, right?
No, lifted his eyes in hell and torment.
Now, where did the poor man Lazarus, he went? He was in another compartment, right?
Right. He was in Abraham's bosom.
Now, when Jesus descended to the earth, all those that were in Abraham's bosom got loose.
Amen.
Well, who are these people? Well, do you remember what Job said 3,000 years before that? He said something very important, and we need to read 3,000 years before that, before Jesus descended. Wow. Now, what happened in that first resurrection of Jesus when the many body got up the saints? Job said in chapter 21, let's go to Job chapter 21. See those people that were in waiting for Jesus to descend. All right. You do err not knowing the scripture, understanding and enlightenment of the power of God. Job chapter 21, 28 to 30. You got it.
Job chapter 21, verse 28 to verse 30. The word of God said, "For ye say, where is the house of the prince? And where are the dwelling places of the wicked? Have ye not asked them that go by the way? And do ye not know their tokens? That the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath."
Now, Job was answering the question, where do the wicked go when they die? Oh, and he asked him about the prince who was over them. Okay. Now, the Job witness said, you're dead, you're dumb, you don't know anything, and you go to, they use one scripture out of context in Ecclesiastes and don't have the full revelation of the New Testament, what Jesus and the apostles taught. They don't have that. They don't even put that in there. Take a scripture out of context. You do error. Now, notice what Job says, the dwelling place of the wicked. Now, let's go to Job. Job had another revelation. Chapter 19. Chapter 19, beginning verse 24 to 27.
"That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me."
What does Job say? 3,000 years before Christ descended and died and went into the earth, he said, even though my flesh rot and the worms consume it, but he said, I'm going to see my Redeemer. Is that right?
Amen.
When he stand on the earth, I'm going to see him for myself. When Jesus Christ went into the heart of the earth, Brother Job was a, oh, I know my Redeemer. Here he come. Here he come. Oh, who were these people that loosed from the grave when Jesus rose from the dead? Wow. Listen.
Amen.
Listen. They were waiting when he descended into the heart of the earth where they were waiting. Job said, I know it's coming 3,000 years ahead. He sees it. He got the direct revelation. He don't err. He doesn't. Job is not in error because he had the power of revelation from the living God. That's how close he was, Job. And he said, I know my Redeemer living. How did he know that 3,000 years in advance that he's going to come on the earth? And that I'm going to see him for myself. Well, Job is dead. How are you going to see him? Because he's going to go in the heart of the earth and he's going to loose the captive and ascend on high. And Job is risen. He ain't dead no more. He got a body. Well, Jesus said, you're going to have a body like me. You shall be as I am. Flesh and bone. Feel me. What's his name? The doubting Thomas. Feel me. See, I'm flesh and bone. Luke 24:37. He said, touch me. I'm a real person. I have flesh and bone. I just don't have any blood. No blood. So Jesus loosed the captive, right? Okay. Let's go. Let's go quick, because we can't finish the scripture. This is tied to how John can come back as a resurrected person. Now, people want to know, when Jesus went into the heart of the earth, what took place? Well, let me give you an insight to what took place. He broke the bands of death. He loosed the captive. And blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. Revelation 20. Blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection. Second death has no power because they are risen. Well, who rose with these people when Jesus, who had part in the first resurrection when he broke the bands and rose again and loosed the captive? Who were these people waiting? In Abraham's bosom. Well, let's see. If it were not for the redemption which Christ had made for his people and all people, which had been prepared from the foundation of the world, I say unto you, if it were not for this, that all men, all mankind, would have perished in their sins. Behold, the band of death shall be broken. Who broke that band of death? Who defeated death? And the sun reigneth. He rose again with power and has power over the dead. Job waiting. Moses and all of them waiting. Isaiah waiting. Therefore, he bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead. When he rose, he loosed the captive. I know Abraham was rejoicing, Isaac and Jacob. There cometh a resurrection, a first resurrection, even a resurrection of those that had been, who had died before Christ, which are, which shall be, even until the resurrection of Christ, so shall it be called. And now, understand this, the resurrection of all the prophets. Well, who got up, brother? The prophets. Oh, wait a minute. You mean David is not dead anymore? He's not in the grave, and Isaiah and all of them that died before Christ and had hope in him, they're not dead anymore? They had part in the fresh resurrection when Christ rose again? All the dead prophets are risen, and they're just like they're as the angels? Well, John got up. He got his head cut off before Jesus died. So he's risen. He resurrected. He has power as an angel. He can fulfill the scripture. The Elijah must come and restore faith. Oh, John, he's dead. David, he's dead. No, he's not. Who do you think he went down the loose when he went into the hollow? Who do you think he set the captive free for the power of death and the grave? Who do you think when he said ascended on high and went on high?
Amen.
Now, the resurrection of all the prophets, when Jesus went down, and all those that had believed in their words, and all those that had kept the commandments of God, these shall come forth in the resurrection. They are the first resurrection. When Jesus rose again, these are they that came. And they are to dwell with God, who has redeemed them. Thus they have eternal life through Christ, who has broken the bands of death. And these are those that have part in the first resurrection. These are they that have died before Christ came in their ignorance, not having salvation declared to them, and thus the Lord brings about the restoration of those, and they have a part in the resurrection or have eternal life, being redeemed of the Lord. And all little children also have eternal life. Now, I just read to you the one that was waiting in hope when Christ came, hope that he shall come, because they've been given hope that he was coming when they died with hope. Now, they had part in the first resurrection. Now, okay, how many minutes we got, brother? Let me see if I got, because I can't finish it. How many minutes we got?
You got 28 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to take, when I stop me into 5 minutes.
Okay, in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I want to prove to you in that the people that rose with Christ when he rose in the first resurrection, that gives John to fulfill the scripture that he's risen with Christ. He's not dead. John the Baptist, his head is put back on. He didn't need no surgeon to sew his body. He got a new body. You got a new body in the resurrection. And that's why Jesus said in Revelation 26, blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy, for death has no power over them anymore. When he's coming back, blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. Those that are ready to meet Christ in Thessalonians, when he come back, the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, they are coming back with Christ. Those saints that were risen with Christ, and had part in the first resurrection, they're coming back in the clouds of glory with Christ. Okay, now, not only they, but listen what is happening. We're going to prove to that those people are as the angels. John the Baptist has the nature and the resurrected body like Christ can go and come as the angel. Let's go to Revelation, the writings of Revelation, verse 19, beginning verse 9, Revelation 9. We're going to prove something that the prophets and all those who believed on them, they rose when Christ rose from the dead. Revelation 19, the writings of Revelation to John. Two Johns, we're going to find out how these two Johns got together. John the Beloved and John the Baptist got together. We're going to find out something very mysterious. These two Johns had a meeting. All right. John on the Isle of on the power of Revelation, he's going to come in contact with John the Baptist who resurrected from the dead. Okay. Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 9 to verse what? 11? Or what is it? Let me see where we're at. You got it?
Yeah, I got it. Revelation chapter 19, verses 9 to verse 11. Good. And he said unto them, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war.
Now listen now. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, he was visited by one of some of these resurrected prophets. You see what this angel that appeared to him said? When John fell down to John the Beloved, fell down to worship this angel, what did this angel say? What did he say? What did he say? Don't do it.
He said, don't do it. Yeah.
Why?
He said, don't do it because he said, worship God. Because I am of thy brethren, the prophets.
You what?
He said, I am of thy brethren, the prophets.
Did you understand what he said? He said, I'm one of the prophets. In other words, I'm one of the prophets that was risen. I'm one of the resurrected ones. I'm one of the prophets, one of the brethren that's risen with Christ. Well, we're going to confirm that a little bit. Go to Revelation chapter 22, and he says it again, that he was resurrected, resurrected person, prophet that were appearing to John. He were resurrected there as the angels. Just like Christ, when he rose from the dead, they appeared to John. They were resurrected prophets, and one of them was John the Baptist. Okay, I know, I know. Revelation chapter 22. What we got? What we got? Verse 22, beginning at verse 8.
Okay, and the word of God said, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then say he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God.
Now, what does he say? What is he revealing there? When John the Beloved went down, because angels, they have so much glory and power and resurrected power, just like the like Christ, he fell to worship. Just like the angels have so much power and light, he fell down to worship. And the angel that appeared to John the Beloved on the says, what did he say again? What did he say?
He said, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God.
Wait a minute, did he say that he was a prophet? He was of the brethren?
Right.
Well, he can't be a brother unless he died. He lived in the flesh and died and was a brethren. How could he be a... These are resurrected persons. He said, I'm of your brethren, the prophets. Who that prophet was? That was John. One of them was John the Baptist, who was risen. Okay, we're going to stop there. We can't go any further with this.
Yeah.
But to solve the mystery about error and not knowing the power of God and why John is called the greatest prophet born of a woman because of his mission and purpose. All right.
Well, brother,
you want to add something to that, brother?
Well, let me ask a question before you turn it over to the sisters. You know,
okay.
In Revelation 20, when it said, blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. So I see what you're talking about, the first resurrection of those before Christ. But could that extend to those who, after Christ had died and was resurrected? Because I know the word of
it's
God said that
the first part of the resurrection.
Will rise.
It's going
I'm
to
sorry,
extend.
Go ahead,
it basically extends to those that first part of the resurrection when they first rose, when Christ went down, and they broke the bands and loosed the captive, they took the keys of death from hell, and all those waiting in Abraham's bosom, and all that believed on the words of the prophets that died before Christ, they rose with him. They have part in the first resurrection. They are holy, blessed they have part in the resurrection. Now, at the coming of Christ in 2 Thessalonians, when he comes back, he's coming with all those that had part in the first, he's coming with most all of them that had part in the resurrection. With him, 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000. With angels and the resurrected, they're coming with him. When they come with him, they're going to come put an end to this Armageddon and put his foot on that Mount Olive. Now, the people, when he comes, they hear the trump. Those that are alive on the earth, still alive. Now, this consists of those that died after Christ. Remember that people dying in Christ, after Christ, they're going to be risen and come with him. You get that?
Right, right, gotcha.
And those that are still alive, when Christ comes, the trump sound, the dead in Christ going to rise first. All right, those that are died after Christ, yeah, they're going to rise. Those that are already risen with Christ at his first coming are coming with him, but those that have died after Christ are going to be raised, going to be quickened
right.
And receive a new body and come with him. And those that are alive, still alive on the earth in Christ, that shall be caught up to meet with them in the heavens. As they come to the earth, put their foot on that mountain and stop that all nations war, then all the saints shall know the day of trouble is over with. Okay. Did that kind of...
It cleared it up because I noticed that I understand what you're talking about, those before Christ in the first resurrection. But I see you saying it extends to those too who are in Christ after, who was,
yes.
after, I'm saying,
yes.
with, had died after Christ. They're part of
right.
the first resurrection, too. I get
yes.
what you're saying. Okay,
yeah.
I'm good. I'm good, brother.
Okay.
Let's patch on
all
our
right.
sister here, brother. Patch our sister here on. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. God bless you. I would give you my time because don't break the trend now. And I have a question. And my question is, thank God for this word that's coming forth. But at what point in time is it in the tribulation that the people that died not knowing Christ will be taught? What point?
I'm having a time over this little static here. Say it again because I'm having a little problem with the little static.
Okay, the people that died not knowing Christ, is there some point in time, like in the tribulation or at one point in time, that at this time during the tribulation, would they be taught about Christ?
No, not during the Great Trib. No, see, the tribulation, the
yeah.
word, let's, I'm not going to have a time to really go into it, maybe tomorrow. Maybe I have time to go in tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
Great tribulation is for the saints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the trying of the saints, the purifying and the testing of the saints. The wrath of
yeah.
God is for the wicked. So that's two different things.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Most people try to put them together. But the great tribulation or the great indignation that Jesus said in Matthew, that's not for so much for the wicked as it's for the trying and testing and purifying of the saints. The wrath of God is going to be poured out later upon the wicked. Now,
amen.
The judgment of God, at first, it's already begun, but there's three parts to judgment, because most people, when you hear the word of judgment, they think of one thing. But there's more
okay.
than one part to the word of judgment of God. The final judgment, when the wicked are risen, because when Christ comes, remember that those that died in sin, they're not going to be risen. Okay?
Right.
All the wicked, right. when Christ comes back again, they're going to stay in their grave in Revelation 20 until the end.
Right.
Hallelujah. Then they're going to be raised. But the great tribulation is a period of purifying, testing,
mm-hmm.
and proving the saints and refining them. That's why a lot of people think that the saints is not going through the great tribulation. They teach, they do error, not knowing the understanding of the scripture properly and not knowing it through the power of God. Like Jesus said, that the Jews, he said, you do error, not knowing the proper revelation of the scriptures or the power of God because you didn't wait upon the power of God to reveal them. And therefore you assume and presume. That's why they are presuming that we're going to be snatched out before the great tribulation. And they don't know that the great tribulation has already begun. See, not rightly dividing the scriptures because they do error, assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking about the period of time that that Daniel talks about, great indignation time, a great trouble. Jacob's trouble and Jeremiah. Jacob's trouble is when the part of the great tribulation, when the Jews, they're going to come against the Jews over there in Jerusalem and to destroy them. And part of the 7-year period of time, the church of Jesus Christ in the earth is going to be tested and not be removed. And this is why they do error. We'll talk about a little bit of that tomorrow a little bit more.
Okay.
We cannot answer it in one session. No, well, some of these things can't be answered in one session because you had to go back and lay a foundation of understanding.
Okay.
And, yes, okay. The coming of Christ in 2 Thessalonians is where people do make their error and their assumption about the second coming of Christ in the clouds of glory.
Well, this is where the division and the strife comes up, because some believe four different things. And they say it don't make no difference what you believe. Oh, yes, it's going to make a lot what you put your belief in. This is why most people are error. They say it don't make no difference. Okay. I'm going to tell you why it's going to make a bit different what you believe about the second coming of Christ. I'm going to tell you why it's important. It is not the only thing, but it's one important thing. We do err, and Christians are divided. Well, we don't believe it. We could be snatched out, and they call pre-trib. Then we got people mid-trib, in the midst of the trib. Then other people say, no, we're going all the way through, and we're going to stand on the other side with complete victory. Now, why is this going to make a difference? Because you got preachers that, well, that don't make no difference. That's your mind. That's not what the scripture says. That's your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the scripture says.
Amen.
Listen.
Amen.
You got to go by what Jesus taught and the apostles taught, not
Amen.
What you think.
Yes.
You do error thinking that's not going to make a difference. Well, it don't make no difference as long as you're ready to meet the Lord. Yeah, meet the Lord, but you ain't met it. You're not going to be ready to meet some other stuff. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of people going to deny the Lord. And,
yeah.
Okay, we're going to stop that. Right now. Where's Sister Helen at?
She's not on yet.
Okay, well, Sister Anderson, you can go ahead and use your time. We've got a few minutes left.
Well, I just kept thinking, I praise the Lord for the word that's gone forth, because it really has been a blessing to me. And I pray and I hope that many people that was listening to it got some understanding and came to know that why there must be a restoration and restitution of all things, because it was not done when John came the first time. And I hope they understand now through the teaching that went forth, as to what happened and things was put in perspective as to who was in the first resurrection and why John is not dead just because he got his head cut off now. And that he was risen. And I just think, and I praise the Lord for the word. It was very informative. And I just hope and pray that whoever was listening was able to receive it.
Well,
amen. We want to welcome all Sister Helen. God bless you, Sister Helen.
God bless. Amen. I thank the Lord
Amen.
For the word that went forth tonight, and I really understood a lot of things that I didn't understand, and you know, and
mm-hmm.
I just truly thank the Lord for it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. What we got, 3 minutes or 2 minutes?
Got about almost 10, brother.
Now, the controversy is with Christians, why they err about this, and we do make error because we have presumptions and assumptions from our own thinking. When people look at prophecies and they come up with some things that are very good and some are accurate, but they do error in some of their prophecy understanding, because unless you get complete, perfect understanding, scripture by scripture and revelation, you'll make an error and you'll make a presumption. So some prophecy,
mm-hmm.
when you look at some great men and women God today, make some good understanding, but there's some error in their teaching also. And this is why it's hard to understand that a person can have a gift. That gift don't mean they're perfect in everything of understanding. This is
mm-hmm.
where people make a mistake. Well, he's have a gift about prophecy. Yeah, but he doesn't have complete understanding on everything, and he has
mm-hmm.
to what you call assume what I believe or what I think. Did you get that?
Amen.
There is a slight
yes.
difference. You mean that a person to be anointed with a special gift do not have complete understanding about a lot of things in the scripture? Of course they don't have complete understanding. And they will presume that this is what's going to happen and assume what this is going to be when they didn't get a direct revelation like Peter did, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did you get that?
Amen.
Amen.
So why is it important that Elijah restore all things? What is the thing that in the latter days, even though people have the Holy Ghost and they have gifts of God and God's working with them mightily, there's still some error.
Yeah. Amen.
And pride will not allow you to admit it.
Yeah.
Because you are a great theologian and a great prophecy expert, audio prophecy is not perfect. You only get a little bit line upon line when you receive a direct word from God. Now, that's very important because when you said Elijah come, got to restore things, he is not flesh and blood, so he doesn't make any error about prophecy.
Amen.
Because he doesn't come from the mind of man, not the thoughts of men.
Amen.
Do we get that?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I just want to add that to it because people stumble when you say Luke 1:17, John come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Well, when John first came on the earth as the announcer of Jesus, he did not come to fulfill in the spirit and power of Elijah because the spirit and power of Elijah restored Israel back to the true worship. Now, he pointed to the Jews. The Jews did not come to the true worship of Jesus in the beginning as a nation, only a remnant. And when John came the first time, the whole nation practically rejected Jesus. So they did not come to understanding in that day.
Yes.
Elijah, amen. Spirit and power of Elijah, Luke 1:17, it means in the end, when the falling away come, and when there need to be a restoration. Because
yes,
they talked about the falling away. John, you know, Brother Nate, they're talking about the falling away of the
amen.
Christian church. The falling away must first come. Before there can be a restoring, the falling, the apostasy for 1260 days had to come first. So how could John restore something that hadn't even been established and hadn't even fallen away?
Yeah.
I thought I'd add that to that. So make I'm the professional agitator. My name is Brother Lee. All right. Thank God. That these few minutes we talk to people in the world, they want to know about what's next coming to pass in the earth and what events going to take place. And because a lot of people are expecting any moment to be raptured away. You may die any moment. So you have to stay ready, live ready, and be ready. That's true.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But the majority of people will still be here when Christ comes.
My Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And so amen. You're going to have to pass through something.
Amen.
And they're teaching people that you're not going to pass through anything because you're going to escape from all of that by going away. That's not what Elijah did in his day. He faced Ahab and Jezebel. He did not go in a rapture.
Amen.
He was not removed from facing the anti-God in his day. Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, he had to face it and win the victory.
Yeah.
That's what the church world is going to have to do. They're not going to be run away from the Antichrist or the false prophet, and they're going to run away because it's going to be so terrible. No. No. God glorifies in the victory, not running away.
Amen. Amen.
I know that's not what they want to hear, but it's still true. All right, Brother Nate, I turn it over to you. You have the last words, brother.
Amen. Once again, we are grateful for another blessed broadcast. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Heart to Heart, we will continue on with the broadcast. Look for the advertising at 7 o'clock p.m. And we are very grateful for the door that God has opened for us to get the gospel out to you. Thank God for all you've been listening. As for Brother Lee and Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, Sister Teague, we love you all. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name.
I want to say
amen.
One thing, brother, before you close. Everywhere you're listening tonight, any nation, Jesus is waiting for you to invite him to come in. You ask him to come into your life, into your heart. You don't have to wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow may be too late. So if you're hearing today and you don't know that Jesus Christ is Lord and the Savior, he died on the cross, say, Lord Jesus, reveal yourself, come in my heart, change my heart, make yourself real to me. He will do so today, tonight,
yes,
right
Jesus.
Now.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. God bless you. God keep you as we see you tomorrow. May you have a blessed day in the Lord. God bless.
Thank you. God bless.